It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 236. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I discuss the biggest question facing Kalani Sitake in 2016, and of course, we also talk Big 12 expansion. Also on the show, Ziggy and KVN, TJ Haas and Big Expectations, and why turning 40 makes you a man. Also, check out my new book, Peak Crosser, Empire of the Peaks Book 1, now available on Amazon in both print and Kindle editions. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us right now. Rise and Shout podcast, CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, word up. I don't know what that means. What does that actually mean?
I'm not really sure. Vulgar?
Should I not use that?
I usually go with the rule, if you don't know what it means, it probably is vulgar.
I go with the rule, if you don't know what it means, throw it randomly into your conversations.
And if it is vulgar, you have an excuse, right? Because you didn't know.
I didn't know. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant. But I don't believe I'm no longer allowed to say hip things, am I?
Absolutely not. Happy birthday, by the way. You're not allowed to say anything that is remotely hip.
That's right. I am now the big 4-0, Matt. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I will say this. If that's the only time we hear that during this episode of the podcast, you failed.
Oh, it won't be the only time. I've been saying it nonstop. I may or may not have said it to someone just randomly on the airplane today. This is the Rise of Job podcast roadshow continues. I am in Decatur, Alabama.
How is Decatur, Alabama doing?
It's nice. The weather was nice. Flew into Huntsville, beautiful little hamlet. See, I'm 40. I can use words like that now.
I think you have to.
Hamlet, yes. I'm here for a day and then back home. So not too shabby. Not too shabby. I've thought we should like compile a list of some time of how many states we've done the podcast from.
Have we ever done the podcast from a foreign country?
No. Anytime I've traveled foreign, we just have decided to scrap it and not try it.
Because I've traveled foreign a little bit, but I don't think I've ever... Yeah, I don't think we've ever done it.
No. That's when we had those really highly rated episodes without you.
Interesting.
Do you remember those? No?
No, obviously not. I didn't participate in them.
I don't know. So Matt,
I wasn't invited to those shows.
Last week we did not do a podcast, and I was also traveling. I was in Wichita area of Kansas, which I have done the podcast from Kansas before, so that would not have been a first. But we didn't do it. But I did one night, as I occasionally will do on work trips if there's not something else going on related to work. I went to a movie. Shocking.
Oh yeah.
I know. I went to X-Men Apocalypse.
How was that?
It was okay. It's getting terrible ratings and reviews. I don't think it's terrible. I think we talked about this with Superman vs. Batman. I think the bar has been raised for superhero movies. And unfortunately, just okay doesn't now get you kind of a thumbs down from a lot of people. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. It has some flaws. Do you like the X-Men movies?
I do like the X-Men movies, and this is a movie I will likely see.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, there's a lot of characters in it, but, you know, we just saw, you know, Captain America Civil War, which was way better than this movie, and it had just as many characters. You can pull off the whole, you can't do a big, you know, ensemble. You can do it. It's just harder to pull off, and they didn't quite... They didn't quite pull this one off, but I liked it. I like those X-Men movies. I thought you, of course, have seen Days of Future Past.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that movie. I think that's the best X-Men movie. That's my vote. Sticking with it until I change my opinion later.
Until there's another one that comes out and blows your mind.
That's right. Well, they're talking about doing the next one will be set in the 90s. So, I mean, this one was set in the 80s. Days of Future Past was the 70s. And then First Class was the 60s. The problem is the people are not aging fast enough. Like,
right.
If First Class was set in the 60s, Xavier and Magneto should be old by now. And they just look the same because that movie was made like 10 years ago.
No, but I think you'll see. I think you're about to embark on that journey, right? You're going to age a lot in the next few years.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you look at those characters, that's how things went.
I'm like a man. They got up. I'm 40.
Anytime you know, you say up to a, stupid, up to a certain age, they still looked good. Things still worked right. And then you get to a certain point, and now things once you get that downhill momentum going, whoo, that happens fast.
So Matt, that just brings us to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So our first tweet bag question comes from courtesy of Alan Seawright, a friend of the podcast, guest on the podcast at Alan Seawright. He asks us, Matt, a burning question. Hashtag burning question. Why does it burn when I pee? Luckily, neither you and I have to answer this because the diagnosis came from none other than Andre Hutchins. That's at @AC_Hutchins.
Dr. Hutchins to the rescue here.
Dr. Hutchins to the rescue. We're asking he change his Twitter handle to @DR_Hutchins.
That's right. Or Andre Hutchins MD.
Or Andre Hutchins MD. That will work as well. He says in response to Alan's questions, UTI. Probably go to the doctor. So thank you, Dr. Hutchins. We appreciate the advice. This is the first and maybe the last medical segment in the history of the Rise and Shout podcast.
And I'm just going to say, Alan, like, you should follow the doctor's advice here. Go get that checked out.
He's Dr. Hutchins. I mean, yeah. People should listen to what he says.
Whether or not he's actually a doctor, we've now dubbed him a doctor, which is basically the same thing.
100 years ago, you didn't have to go to medical school. I don't see why you have to do now.
I mean, seriously.
Seems like overkill.
It's called WebMD. That's all you need.
That's all you need, Matt. Well, Andre did have a different question from the tweet bag that we should address. Matt, what are the top three best BYU sports movie ideas, he asks? Any topic, person, or sport, and would Matt go see it opening night? So, Matt, do you have a pick? What do you think as we set this list of three? What's number one in your mind of BYU sports movie ideas?
See, it's hard, right?
Oh, but my gosh, stop with the it's hard.
It is. There's some good ones.
The number one is easy. It's easy. It's a Disney movie waiting to happen and probably will happen. Ziggy Ansah.
Oh, yeah.
The kid from Africa comes, can't make the basketball team, and all of a sudden now he's an NFL All-Pro. It's easy.
That's actually far and away the best one.
And that one, I think, has – I'm not saying it will be made, but, like, I wouldn't be shocked if the announcement that there's going to be a Ziggy Ansah movie it comes out. That would not shock me. That would not shock me. So I think another one that would be more of a 30 for 30 was the year that BYU basketball only won one game.
Yes.
That'd be more for a 30 for 30. There was a Sports Illustrated piece that year. They were looking for the worst basketball team in college basketball, and BYU got that designation.
Well, and probably deservedly so. That was a well-earned honor.
In the article, they said there was at least one or two intramural teams on BYU's campus that could have beat them.
Mm.
Yeah. So what other ideas, Matt? We don't have to stick to a top three. Are there any other ideas? You don't have to rank them, just ones that come up to your head.
I'd go with like the Lavelle's last season, maybe, you know, and like players kind of leaving it all on the field, sacrificing their body for the win and trying to finish it out with a win at the end of the season.
Brandon Doman.
Yeah. I might throw that one in there.
That one's good. That one's good.
You know, you could make a movie about the national championship run. That could be fun.
Yep. I think that one is up there. I think if you went away from football, you could also have a Jimmer movie.
Yep.
I don't know, after reading his tweets a couple weeks ago on air, I think there's likely you'd have to find somebody. I don't know who you'd find to play him, but they couldn't be too charismatic.
Nope, not too charismatic, but a little more charismatic.
Yes.
There's a fine line there.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe we should ask, we should tweet at Whitney Ferdette and ask her who should play her husband in the Jimmer movie.
That would be funny.
I may do that when we're done here, or while you're talking when I don't pay attention.
Oh, you should do that because who knows, if she happens to be on Twitter, she might come up with something funny.
Yeah. What about BYU rugby? Is that interesting?
I think BYU rugby could be a movie, yeah, but BYU I don't. I just don't know how well it would do.
Well, I don't know how well it would do, but when you cast Cal as the villain.
Oh, you'll love that movie.
I'm going.
That's the story of your life.
No, it would be of Stanford or San Diego State. But Cal's pretty high up there. They're pretty high up there. I was asked, actually, by someone, a friend of mine that listens to the podcast, if I hate Stanford more than the University of Utah.
Okay, and what was your answer to
easy
that question?
Stanford.
Wow.
It's not even close for me.
Oh, well, that was quick.
Yeah. That was his reaction, actually. He's like, wow, I thought you'd have to think about that. No, I don't actually have to think about that very much.
Any non-football or basketball-related movies come to mind?
Besides rugby? I'm sure there are others that we're not thinking of that are good stories. I'm sure there's some track and field ones. I think Kosich could be a good movie.
Yep.
Just his life story. That's basketball, so I'm cheating. Yeah,
but you get a little bit away from basketball, though, but it is basketball.
Yes, because it wouldn't be a basketball-centric movie, per se.
Yeah, so that's one that I thought like a sports-related but mostly off-the-field type of movie could be good. I think a couple ones that could be compelling is Austin Colley's journey through the concussions into what he's doing now. I think that could be interesting. And then one that's
Concussion 2.
One that's probably a little bit more dramatic and it's probably not over yet. And a little bit kind of a redemption story. I mean, this might be a little bit too serious of a topic, but like a Max Hall story. Turning that ship around.
Coming back from that,
I think that could be a really good story.
With the drug issues from painkillers that's going across not just sports but across America, I think a movie like that could actually do well because it's very topical.
Well, and I know, I mean, I can think of just a couple of people in circles where I've known people that from sports injuries and football injuries have gotten into that problem.
Well, yeah. It's very common. You
know, and met real tragedy as a result. So yeah. I think that is a story that could resonate with people and, as long as you get to a place where it's a good ending, it could inspire some folks.
And as long as there's a clip in there of Max Hall saying how much he hates the University of Utah, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to put that in there. That's obviously a key part of the story.
Yeah, that's key to good storytelling there. So Matt, before we go to our next segment, I did want to stick in that we are sponsored this week.
Yes, we are.
By my book. So you can now buy my debut novel, Peak Crosser, at Amazon, either in print or electronic form. It will be available in other ebook forms on the 20th of this month. So in a couple of weeks, it'll be available on iBooks and Barnes & Noble and Kobo and a few others ebook distribution. So you can go check that out. You can either go to the show notes of this on ajmangum.podbean.com, or in your podcasting listener program or app, you can find there'll be a link, or you can just go to amazon.com and search my name or Pete Crosser, and buy the book if you're interested. It's an epic fantasy.
So this is pretty cool, right? This is a lot of work you've put into this.
Yes, I started writing this book about 4.5 years ago.
Wow.
And I am working on some other writing projects that we'll talk about later this summer, including the sequel to this book as well. So we'll see how it goes. Right now, I believe I've sold 2 copies and both to people I'm related to. But of course, I haven't started telling people that it's out there either. So maybe this podcast will lead to doubling my sales. Let's do it, America.
Think about that pitch. This podcast doubled sales.
Yes, that'll get us a sponsor by the way, isn't a host of the podcast. maybe we're still working on that, but we don't want to sell out, Matt. We're not sellouts.
No, we don't want to sell out to the man.
Torches,
that's
tacos,
what makes. That's what make, we're going to make out. Podcasting great again, and we're going to do that by not getting encumbered with.
That's right.
With financial ties to outside organizations.
Dr. Pepper, we're waiting on your call. Cafe Rio, anyone?
Anytime you're ready.
Anytime you're ready, we'll take your money.
Torchy's Tacos.
Torchy's Tacos. I already said that. Didn't you hear my subliminal Torchy's Tacos?
Worth repeating.
Worth repeating for sure. Actually, Torchy's Tacos will appear later in this podcast. So there's your tease right there.
Folks. I can't wait.
There's your tease.
I'm hungry.
Let's move on, Matt, next to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, BYU track will be well represented at Nationals. Looking at this story by friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, that was in the Salt Lake Tribune today on June 7th. They have 13 athletes competing in 10 events in the championships that are in Eugene, Oregon. They have a sensational 800-meter runner, Shay Martinez-Collinsworth, on the women's side, and Shaquille Walker. Of course, we've talked about him on the podcast before and how I'd love to see him just run an just a fly pattern and see how that goes on the football field. I think he would blow past people. Anyway, those are the two that are headlining it. They also, of course, have the men's 4x400 relay team, which is 11th overall, which was 11th overall at a recent meet. And they should have some, I wouldn't surprise to see, especially Martinez-Collinsworth and Shaquille Walker do have an awesome week. So good luck to them. Matt, it's time for Cougars in the Pros. With the first pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets once again select someone terrible.
New York Jets blow it again.
They blow it again. The fans boo. Ziggy's position coach wants 20 sacks, Matt.
He's getting Ziggy with it.
Oh, boy. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Can we do an episode where we weave in quotes just from Will Smith songs?
Yes, we totally should do that.
That would
be
a good one.
We should do that. We'll put that on the list of
quotes from Will Smith songs or movies.
Yes. I love where your head's at. I've also thought we should do Beastie Boys. I'm just saying.
That could be good too.
By the way, breaking news, Matt. Breaking news on the podcast. I just got a text from our brother Sam, and he says the new Bourne movie looks lame.
Oh, I am just repeating the text. That's not even fair, and it's wrong.
Yeah, of course it's wrong. Those trailers are awesome.
Yes.
Where he just punches the guy?
I would pay the price of a movie ticket to watch that trailer again on a big screen.
Yes, and I did. I watched it. They had it on the big screen. It was really funny. I went to see Captain America again a second time with my oldest, and we do this thing at the beginning of movies where we do thumb up, thumb to the side, like maybe, or thumbs down. I'll never see it.
Yep.
And she raised her two thumbs up for that one, and she goes, "Any chance I can see that?" I'm like, "We'll talk to your mom. We'll see if we can clear that."
I was really proud of my son when he asked me the same exact question.
We're raising our children right, Matt.
You know you're doing something right there.
That's right. So back to the subject of Ziggy Ansah. Detroit defensive line coach Chris Kukurik, said that Ansah could hit 20. He finished last season with 14.5 sacks, Matt. That's a pretty high goal, 20 sacks.
Yeah, but he's pretty awesome.
He is pretty awesome. There have been 11 individual seasons in which a player had 20 or more sacks. J.J. Watt has two of those. He's pretty awesome. Good. I've heard of him. Of course, the record is Michael Strahan, though that's a little tainted by Brett Favre when he just fell down. I'm just saying. Wasn't that with Strahan or was that with Jared Allen?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I think that's Strahan. I'm going to just say it's Strahan, even if it's not true. It's not like I could find it out on the internet.
Nope. It's not like there's this thing called the World Wide Web where you could punch into a little box something like
Brett Favre. I could never do
falls
that.
Down.
Yeah, Brett Favre falls down. Are you Googling that right now? So, Matt, next up.
Here we go. Video of Michael Strahan breaking the sack record, the most bogus in all sports.
Yes.
All right, here we go. I'm pulling up a video here.
All right,
Brett Favre drops back. Oh, he just kneeled, and Strahan laid down on top of him. Nice. Strahan just lays down on here. That's they're going to show up from the other angle.
Still the same.
Here he comes. Brett Favre lays down.
So
Michael just basically lays down on top of
him. Can it be Ziggy Ansah? Do they play the Chiefs this year? Can it be him breaking the sack record while obliterating Alex Smith?
That would be awesome.
I'm just saying.
That would be obliterate, so awesome.
And by obliterate, I mean end his career. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm on one tonight, obviously. So it's too much Dr.
You're
Pepper,
a man. You're 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40. It's too much Dr. Pepper. See how we're doing for you, Dr. Pepper?
Wow. That was seamlessly woven in.
Yes. Yes. We are sellouts. So, Matt, also sticking with the Detroit Tigers, Kyle Van Noy and the Detroit Lions. Man, couldn't they get more separation?
They're both big cats.
Couldn't they get more separation with their – like, is there any other city where they're that close?
There's other cities where they do things like that. Oh, I don't know. Let me try and think of one. Salt Lake, where all of the mascots have two Z's in them.
Okay, that's not the same. And by the way, we're talking about one actual pro team, okay?
Oh, well, wait a minute. A minor league baseball team is pro. A women's basketball, professional women's basketball team called the Stars.
They don't even have the.
They did at one point. They had the Buzz, the Stars, the Jazz,
the Grizz,
and I think the Grizz. And I think there was before there was the Blaze, which is the indoor football team. I think the one before that had two Z's in it. So
okay, whatever. Kyle Van Noy in the Detroit Free Press is ready to make up for two lost years. Matt, his career mainly due to injury. Has been a severe disappointment, Matt. We'll get to this later in the show, but I'm hoping that this is a year that everybody goes, I remember why he was drafted and why he was so good coming out of college.
Yeah, you've been waiting for him to make a breakthrough, right?
Yes.
And to have a good healthy season. Obviously, the talent is there, the skills are there. You just gotta get in the right spot.
Yeah, he's got to get in the right spot. But we've talked about this before, Matt. Every year. There's a new crop of athletes trying to take your spot. And if you have injuries and get derailed for a couple of years, it can – all of a sudden, you're out. You know what I mean? Like NFL careers can just – even for highly touted prospects can disappear, very quickly. Hopefully, this will not be the case for Van Noy this season. He can have a rebound because those happen quite a bit as well. So, Matt, it's now on to everyone's favorite topic – Big 12 conference expansion.
Yes.
And I'm no longer calling it conference expansion because we're only talking about the Big 12 here, right?
And so, because nobody else is really thinking about it or being talked about.
No, not at this juncture, though I think in the future there will be more talk that is beyond the Big 12. So the Big 12, of course, being the Big 12, made another completely moronic decision. They've decided in 2017 whether or not they expand – they will go to two divisions and a championship game in football.
Matt, it'd be awesome.
A scale of zero to whatever, how dumb is this?
I don't know which end of that spectrum is bad. I'm gonna go with whatever.
Okay.
Whatever
super bet.
Am I allowed
to say that? Because I'm a man. I'm 40. Am I overusing it yet?
Nope. Nope, okay. I'll let you know.
All right.
So, but I think that when we look at this situation with the five team divisions and a conference championship game, I mean, theoretically, this could lead to a situation where a team has to beat the second best team twice in order to be the best team.
Oh no, it gets worse than that. Okay, it gets worse than that. You play a round robin, right? Everybody plays each other.
Yep.
So in theory, you could have an undefeated team. That in one division, you could have a one loss team behind that team in that same division, and you could have a three or four loss team that won the other side.
Oh, that's exquisite right there, isn't it?
Because it's a round robin, you're not really guaranteed. Now, granted, I'm talking about a couple of those losses potentially being outside of conference, but there could be like a couple losses in conference, right? You could have a scenario where the best three teams are in one division. Now, it's less likely for that to happen the bigger you get, right? And the more you can spread it out, and you don't have round robin stuff.
Did you just make a case for expansion?
I well, if you're going to do the conference championship game, I'm in theory, I'm fine with a 10-team conference. I just think having a conference championship game is stupid if you have a 10-team conference. There's no reason to do it. I mean, I guess it's money and that kind of things, but I think competitively you're hurting your chances
Because what happens when your undefeated team loses to your 2 or 3 lost team?
Who's basically, you know, isn't even probably worthy of a you know, what do we call those bowls now? New Year's Six bowl. It's not even worthy of one of those bowls, right? I mean, it's a bad scenario for the Big 12. I don't like it. I think it's short-sighted. I think it once again shows they really don't have cohesion or a clue what they're doing.
They do not have a plan.
They don't have a plan. And I think a lot of that is because they're very divided on what that plan should be. There's clearly a few schools that want to expand, and there's clearly a few schools that aren't convinced of that. The other piece of news, Matt, is that they're not, as of now, going to start their own conference network, is what reports are saying, which is another just, I mean, absolutely head-scratching piece of news.
But really, is it? What did you expect them to do?
Do you want to join this mess?
The weird thing. That's what you expected them to do. So that's what they did. They're going to decide to have a conference championship game but not expand. And all that whole, like, network thing? Nah.
Yeah, they're making too much money, some of these other conferences.
Yeah, that looks like a lot of work.
Here's the thing, Matt. I believe that there will be a Big 12 network and expansion. I think both of those things are coming. I just think they have put it off. I just think besides BYU, and BYU has its own issues, like we've discussed before, there's nobody that's a compelling expansion candidate. Except for them trying to raid one of the other Power 5 conferences, which is not likely.
Right, but they're going to have to expand when Texas bolts.
Well, when Texas bolts, they're dead. The SEC Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and we're done. That conference ceases to exist.
That's when the whole expansion thing is going to happen.
Well, I mean, the question becomes, does anybody want Texas? Texas has the same reputational issue BYU has, right? Now, granted, they have a much bigger fan base and potential money to bring into a conference, but they're thought of as prima donnas, right?
Pac-12 wanted them.
Pac-12 wanted them however many years ago. Do you think the Pac-12 at this point is like, I mean, if Oklahoma doesn't want to do the Pac-12, doesn't want to leave Oklahoma State behind, do you think the Pac-12 would do Texas and pick somebody else? They're not going to take us. They're not going to take Boise. What other Big 12 school, if you're the Pac-12, you go, we already took Colorado.
I don't know. I'm not sure which of those schools are considered primarily research institutions.
I'd
have to have that list first.
Nobody's touching Baylor. No one's touching Baylor right now.
Oh, no.
The Big 12, and they did that transfer rule where if you transferred, you know, and so Baker Mayfield got, I mean, if you're a friggin' walk-on, you should be able to transfer wherever you want. It's so stupid. Just absolutely stupid.
Any of them should be able to transfer.
I agree with you. But especially
that whole rule is just insane to me.
Yes. Coaches can leave and go whenever they want. But players, you better stick where you're at. But I mean,
it's just another indication that has nothing to do with the student athlete.
No. But come on. A walk on? Like, how does that even make any sense? You didn't even give him a freaking scholarship. Like, I know people are bitter about him leaving, but you could have given him a scholarship when he came in the first place, and then you wouldn't have to worry about that, right? So I'm glad he's got another year of eligibility because he deserves it. He shouldn't have lost a year. So Matt, Vanquish the Foe talked about how they believe this has given a significant hit to BYU's chances, this news this week. We got a tweet back question from Justin Sweeney. Why are you changing it up?
I don't know. I got to stop here. We got to roll it back.
We have a tweet back. I don't know what that was, but that was not rolling it back. Tweet back question from Justin Sweeney.
I don't remember how to do it.
Oh my gosh, you've lost it. You're like me trying to explain one of the answering machine game. You're just like babbling right now.
I don't know what to do.
All right, we'll move on. Moving on. Does the conference championship game a revelation that Big 12 Network is not happening make BYU more or less likely to expand / add BYU? So, Matt, more or less likely after this news to expand?
More or less likely? I'd say neither. I don't think it's either more or less likely.
I completely agree. I don't think this changes anything.
I've always felt like adding BYU was a long shot.
Yep.
And the expansion thing, it goes back to the point you referenced earlier, right? If there were a clear candidate, they would have done it already.
If they had two candidates, because they need two, right? There's no reason to add just one at this point, though the Big Ten did that for a while, right? With Penn State. But you know, if there were a clear two candidates to get back to 12, I think they would have done it already, right?
Right.
Cincinnati, and I'm nothing against these programs. I actually, if I were the Big 12, I would pick BYU and one of these other folks. I just do it. Form a network and get a real championship game. I think in the long term, you're better off. But anyway, so I say the Vanquish the Foe article has it wrong. I don't think this really changes a whole lot.
No. Nope.
And I'm with you. I think BYU's got a less than 50-50 shot of ever getting in to one of these Power 5 conferences, unfortunately. So the Claremore Progress, where is that even out of? Do you know where?
The Progress? What, are you from Canada?
Yes.
Are you from Canada?
I might be.
The Progress.
Canada?
Actually, I don't have anything against Canada.
The Claremore Daily Progress, how's that?
I've been to Canada once or twice.
Rick Heaton, like their nice sports... Are you still talking?
I'm talking about Canada.
Okay. So, and so he references a CBS Sports article, which basically says if the Big 12 expanded by four teams, they could get an extra $1 billion in TV rights over what they have today.
$1 billion.
This is what I'm talking about. The Big 12 has absolutely no idea what they're doing. It isn't just about the TV markets that you get. It's having a full slate of games on a Saturday to sell, right? Yes, you want to have good teams in there, but right now it's about filling. Right now, sports are almost the only thing that people watch live.
Yeah,
is this bubble maybe going to burst at some point? Maybe, probably. But I don't think it's close to bursting yet. And even if it bursts, it's still going to be a lot of money. So I don't know if the number is a billion, but I think they've got something that they're missing out. They're leaving money on the table, my friend.
I think they could have $1 billion in sharks with laser beams on their heads.
That's right. Friggin' laser beams. So in the Salt Lake Tribune, Matt, we referenced an article by friend of the podcast, Darnell Dixon, a couple of weeks ago on this. Now it's Kurt Cragthorpe's turn to run this out. He's tired of the Big 12 expansion talk. And he basically says, there's no reason to worry about this now. Look forward to 2023 when the TV contracts come up. I think Kurt is exaggerating. I think you need to look forward to 2021, which is usually a year or two before the contracts come up when all the craziness happens. Matt, is Kurt right? Is nothing really going to happen with the Big 12 and all this stuff anyway until those TV contracts are close to being done?
Yep.
Yep.
And I still don't think it's going to go BYU's way here. But I love the description as a vigil.
Yes, yes.
BYU's vigil for the Big 12. Very nice.
It's annoying. It's annoying. So we're going to move away from Big 12 talk, Matt, and go to another friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon, and a great piece he published yesterday or on Monday about fresh off his LDS mission, BYU's TJ Haws is ready to follow in his father and brother's footsteps. As I looked at that picture, I thought, wow, he looks mean. Are you looking at the same picture? Mean. He looks mean, Matt.
Mean.
I like it.
I want him
to look mean. I want him to look intense.
Not too mean. Not too mean.
But then the next picture
punching
has
anybody in the head or anything.
Him and Tyler with these absolutely goofy grins. So, you know, he kind of makes up for it, I guess.
Yeah, they are Yeah, they're kind of goofy.
Yeah, they're pretty goofy. So Matt, how on the 0 to Detmer scale, how excited are you for the TJ Haas era of BYU basketball?
Oh, Detmer.
Detmer? Oh my God.
Oh yeah, this basketball season and next basketball season are going to be awesome.
I was going to say like Robbie Bosco excited. I mean,
my expectations could not be higher for the next couple of years of BYU basketball. Right. I am there set up for such severe disappointment.
Yes, you are.
That I just. You know, at some point we'll do, you know, this is a long ways off, but we'll do our season preview. My expectations are completely unreasonable.
Good. I like it. I'm excited. MO. That's what you do. Well, we're going to get back to TJ here in a minute, Matt. But first, let's talk some football stuff. The starting time was announced for Arizona. Unfortunately, we will once again be staying up late to watch a game in Fantastic. The Central Time Zone. It's 7:30 Pacific, right? That game time start is.
That's not too late.
The best article out there, Matt, the best one, okay, is from Tucson.com. Greg Hansen, actually from the Arizona Daily Star. He's got the wrong network, Matt. He goes off on how much he hates the UA-BYU game start. And blaming the network, and it's all about money, and it's terrible.
ESPN, for those locals. Big jerks.
ESPN is a bunch of big jerks. All this stuff, and so Matt, let's forget about the networks for a second. Does he have a point that this is actually bad for fans of the two teams? Forget about, I mean, about nationally, it's a game to watch later on. Is it bad for fans to have these late start times, both? In that time zone or other, you know, for the fans that are on the West or East Coast, is it bad?
I don't know. Is it bad for fans who are going to the game, or is it bad for?
Well, he argues both.
So I've not been in that neighborhood, that part of Tucson, so I don't really know for sure about whether or not it's bad to be getting out that late there. But I'm sure they'll be okay. But as far as fans anywhere else, it's not bad.
Yes.
Fans are going to fan. People are going to stay up late. People are going to do all of that because they want to watch the game.
And it will be one of the only games on at the time, and it's good for both the University of Arizona and BYU nationally.
Yeah, because, you know, college football fans on the East Coast will watch at least the first half of that game, and if it's good, they'll stay up and watch it.
Yes. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I do.
Because that's what I do. And when I lived on the East Coast before moving here to Texas, you know, when I was in Virginia for a while in Indiana, which is I don't consider East Coast, but it's a different time zone, right? I would stay up if it was a compelling game on Saturday night, the last one that was on. Oh, I stay up. I stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning and watch it.
So Matt, I will say that he does need to check. It's actually on Fox Sports 1. So,
yes, it is. So yes, it definitely is.
Journalism 101, make sure you're bashing the right network.
This is why the people at ESPN did not return your call for comment. So
that was fantastic. Journalism at its finest. Matt, back to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
Drew Troutner, that's at Drewski5, asked, the last two road games he attended were Michigan game and the bowl game last year. Should I stay home for West Virginia? The answer is yes, Drew.
Yes, definitely. Please, because I'm making that trip and I'm not. Please don't.
Please don't come. And we'd also like you to stay away from the Arizona game as well.
So, I'm not even sure I want him to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his record is watching.
What's his record in watching games, Drew? Let's throw that out there for us. We'd be interested to know how that is.
So he then follows up.
I guess we just assume he's watching all the games, right?
I assume, yes. Then he follows up with this. He asks us, what is the worst loss? So this follows up on some of the 2 weeks ago we talked about some of the best BYU sporting events we've ever attended. He asks, what's the worst loss we've ever attended? He says there's many for him. The standouts are Michigan in 10, Michigan in last season in 2016, Utah in 2010, Florida State in 2009, and Utah in 2003.
Drew, just don't go to games anymore, dude.
So Matt, what's the worst?
You're not helping.
What's the worst loss you've attended in person?
I wasn't sitting with Drew Troutner at this game, but I'm going to go ahead with the Utah game in 2003.
Yeah, if I
it pains me to even say the number three when I talk about that game.
I may or may have not in a Buffalo Wild Wings in West Lafayette, Indiana, almost got in a fist fight while watching that game. So
how did you? Was there a Utah fan in there?
No, I was watching the game on a TV, and I'm sitting there buying more food. Because, you know, I feel like you got to buy food while you're there, right?
That's the whole idea, right?
And all of a sudden, the station changes, and I went to the bar, and I said, hey, I'm watching that game. And some guy goes, who wants to watch that stupid game? And I said, I want to watch that stupid game. And I've been sitting here for 2 hours, and I'm going to finish this crappy game. And so he starts barking at me, and I'm like barking back at him.
See, this is why we can't have nice things. We can't take you anywhere. You're in West Lafayette, Indiana, getting into a fight in B-dubs over watching the end of one of the worst BYU football losses of all time.
At that point,
just,
I thought...
Just for a minute, did you yell at him? Did you do the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing?
No, I did not, but I could now.
Yeah, I think you would if it were today.
That was many moons ago. I was nowhere near 40.
No, you were not.
I was approaching 30. The worst one I ever attended in person, Matt, was the 1998 WAC championship game.
Mm.
We lost that to Air Force 20-13. Our defense was very good that day, only gave up 260 total yards to a pretty good offensive team. We had 29 first downs to Air Force's 11, and we still lost.
In gut-wrenching fashion.
In gut-wrenching fashion, yes. We were up 13-7 in the fourth quarter, and they came back and scored two straight touchdowns to win it. It was pretty terrible. Walking out of that one was not pleasant. And then, of course, you were in that terrible Sam Boyd Stadium, too. So,
that stadium is truly awful.
It's not a great place to watch a game. So that was not a good game. Anyway, all right, let's go right away from that. That's depressing. So Matt, Bleacher Report gave all the first year head coaches the biggest question facing them. So according to Bleacher Report for Kalani Sitake, the biggest question facing him is who is the QB? Tanner Mangum or Taysom Hill? So, Matt, is that the biggest question facing the new BYU head coach?
I don't know. For me, there's two really big questions. I think that's one of them.
Okay.
The other one, which is probably a close second, is how many games are we going to wear royal blue for?
That's a big one.
That's, I think, a very significant question. No, in all seriousness, that is the question, isn't it? Who's the quarterback? I think the answer, I think I get to the answer pretty quickly. I think he gets to the answer pretty quickly. But isn't that the biggest decision that they face?
No. Because you can't lose. They're both great quarterbacks. No, I think his biggest decision, quite frankly, is going to be what kind of defense he plays, how aggressive they are, and what he does on the defensive side of the ball. The offense is going to be good. I'm not worried about the offense. They've got Jamal Williams, pick your quarterback, a talented wide receiver core, potentially a tight end that is transferring in, and a few tight ends that are already there, an experienced offensive line. I think the offense will take care of itself. I think the biggest question for him is, can the defense hold down some of the good offenses we're going to play well enough to keep us in these big games? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is the quarterbacks, but we'll see. We will see. Today, we've done this almost every podcast this summer. Who's the quarterback? Who do you believe will start against Arizona?
I think I'm still in Team Taysom.
Same here. I'm assuming he's healthy. I think he gets the start.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Speaking of tight ends, there is a new tight end, Hunter Marshall, who originally signed with Georgia Tech before his mission, redshirted there, and then played at Snow after his mission, 6'4", 240. He is a preferred walk-on is what the report said. So another person in the mix. I think tight end is going to become a position where we start actually recruiting again.
We're going to actually have guys on the roster?
Yeah, they're actual tight ends.
I guess we've always had them on the roster. But
yeah, but I don't know that we cared. But we'll care, Matt. So we're going to finish off tonight, Matt, with a game called More Likely. I'm going to offer up two scenarios, and you're going to pick which of those scenarios is more likely.
All right.
Are you ready to play More Likely?
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yes, it does.
I was gonna throw out the first one. Is it more likely that Adam will offer an explanation of this game that makes sense, or one that does not?
I only mess up answering machine.
So I would have taken the offer an explanation that makes sense as the more likely option.
There you go. See, you see how this game works already.
And now we've provided a practical example for our listeners.
Yes.
So they know what to expect.
That's very good. That's very good. We're professionals after all. Matt, more likely BYU rejoins the Mountain West or BYU joins the Big 12?
I don't like this. I'm going to go with rejoins the Mountain West Conference or some configuration thereof.
Oh, see, that wasn't what I said.
Yeah, but any conference that they go back to or gets formed or some new conference in that it's basically the same thing, just minus Craig Thompson. Right?
Who knows? Maybe it has Craig Thompson. Maybe
oh, my gosh. Comes. No, I'm done. If that happens, I'm done.
Your hatred for Craig Thompson is well documented.
Oh, it runs deep. It flows like his locks of hair.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So Matt, I'm going to say that BYU joining the Big 12 is actually more likely than the scenario you're describing.
If you lock me into the Mountain West Conference, I'd also go that way.
No, okay, I'll take your little change to the scenario, and I will pick the Big 12 still. Because I think if they don't get in the Big 12, they stay independent. There is no advantage at this point to joining a non-P5 conference. I mean, yes, there are some advantages, but not that make it worth it. As long as ESPN is willing to continue to pay BYU and we can stay in the West Coast Conference, which isn't ideal to me, but it's not terrible, I say you stick with that. Now, things could change, and I could be wrong. ESPN, that money may dry up, and or the university just says, we got to get the rest of our sports not out of the West Coast Conference.
Yeah.
But right now, you don't even hear rumblings that BYU cares to do that. Right?
I don't think there's any burning need for it.
The only sport where I say, gosh, they got to get out of there is maybe basketball, but that's not even fair because we haven't even won it yet. Right?
No, we're definitely not too cool for school in the West Coast Conference of basketball.
No, we have not earned that. Okay, Matt, next one. More likely, TJ Haws is a bust or TJ Haws becomes the best Haws ever?
Oh, TJ Haws becomes the best Haws ever.
Easy, right? That one's an easy one. Was that too much of a softball?
As a matter of fact, I think that's even I'm going to go ahead and just label that as likely.
How about this? Let's see. Who should I pick? Okay. All right. Here you go. More likely, Micah becomes the best player of this era, or TJ Haws ends up being the best player of this era?
Ooh.
And obviously, there's at least one more player I could have put in that.
Now, that one's interesting.
I'm going to go with Micah. Is that crazy?
A little bit.
I don't think it's crazy.
So you just assume that the offense is going to come his way.
Correct.
All the time.
Now, to be fair, Dave Rose has repeatedly said this summer to remember that his offenses are perimeter based. You know, even when, you know, you had Brandon Davies and other good big men on his roster that you can run the offense through, it was still a perimeter guard based offense, right?
Right, which is why I would go with Haws.
Now, that being said, I think Micah has the potential to be much better than Davies. And there's, I don't know if any of these guys will reach Jimmer level offense. I think that's unlikely that any of them reach that level. But we'll see. They could.
Well, they also, it's a completely different cast, right? Part of the reason Jimmer becomes Jimmer is because of what was around him.
Correct.
And the way things complement each other, you know, if you, Jackson Emery had, was a whole different facet, right? You know, part of that's chemistry.
So what if I make it a three-man race and it's Nick Emery, Micah, or TJ?
I'm still going with Haas.
Still going with Micah. Mm-hmm. Hmm. But it's a fascinating question that we can revisit like 3 or 4 years from now and dissect, you know.
Interesting that neither of us really thought about Emery.
I thought about Emery, actually. There are days where I'd pick Emery over Haas. Quite frankly, you ask me this next week, I may have a totally different answer.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's how we roll around here. We're like politicians. Matt, more likely, Ziggy has more than 20 sacks, 20 or more. How about that? 20 or more. Or Kyle Van Noy has 5 or more.
I'm going to go with Ziggy has 20 or more.
No.
I think that's
5 or more.
I think that's the defense that they're running. I don't know that they're going to be using Kyle Van Noy to rush the quarterback as much.
Stop.
They are clearly sending Ziggy on a mission for the quarterback.
I just said this. 10 seasons. There have only been 10 seasons since they've started keeping track of sacks. Some great players never got 20.
Oh, okay. So you're saying it happened.
Yes,
all right, good. So it's going to happen again.
Oh, my gosh. You're ridiculous. It's going to happen again.
Strahan gets a sack for the Brett Favre laydown. I think Ziggy can get 20.
Vannoy could have one of those games where he gets 3 sacks in a game just because there's a matchup thing. You know what I mean? Getting to 5 sacks is not that hard. A lot of players get to 5 sacks. I think you're crazy.
Ziggy, I bet, in a game.
Gets 5 sacks?
What?
Oh, my gosh. You're ridiculous. All right. So our final more likely... You ready?
Yep.
Adam prefers Torchy's Tacos over Cafe Rio, which I've never had Torchy's Tacos. Or Matt prefers frozen custard over ice cream.
So we're assuming here, because I will go ahead and say that I've had frozen custard
Culver's.
And ice cream, but you've not had Torchy's Tacos. So the question is, were you to try Torchy's Tacos, do we believe you would prefer it over Cafe Rio, or... do I prefer frozen custard over ice cream? Now, I know the answer to one of those.
Okay.
I've made this uneven.
Yes, I've made this uneven.
I'm at an advantage, not a disadvantage. You're at a disadvantage.
No, I'm not at a disadvantage.
I've spent the last 11 years developing immunity to Iocane powder.
Do you prefer frozen custard to ice cream?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, I'll tell you that is more likely because there's a 0% chance I will prefer Torchy's Tacos to Cafe Rio.
I don't think there's anything that Torchy's Tacos could do to win you over from Cafe Rio. No, I think your love for Cafe Rio is completely, Yeah, it's completely irrational, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter what it wouldn't matter what food I served you if I compared it to Cafe Rio.
My love of Cafe Rio is equal to my hatred of San Diego State.
Now, there is a Cafe Rio near you now or no?
No, I don't have one anywhere near me.
See, and that's part of the deal is you're fighting against a legend. How often do you get to eat Cafe Rio?
Once, twice a year.
Once, twice a year, right? So you're fighting, it's a legend.
It's a legend, How can you beat a legend?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could walk out my front door right now and in 10 minutes I could beat a frozen custard place or an ice cream place.
Yeah, but it's not Culver's frozen custard.
I've had it. I've had Culver's frozen custard.
Okay, so now answer the dang question, you dork. Frozen custard or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Frozen custard. Stop it. It's richer. It's thicker.
Stop it. Have you had Bluebell ice cream?
Oh, stop it with the Bluebell.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not even a top 10 ice cream.
Did you just swear on the podcast?
Yeah.
That's a cuss word.
Well,
you just said it's a cuss sentence.
I'm telling you right now, the Bluebell ice cream is not even top 10 to me.
What's wrong with you?
Is it better than BYU Creamery?
Do you have taste buds? Do you have taste buds?
I do. They work very well. This Dr. Pepper.
Oh my God. Pepper.
Is tasting very good on them.
You know, they say as you get older, certain things, you know, don't work as well as they used to. For you, it's your taste buds.
Don't go there, buddy. This is a family program. This you're just wrong again. Like, I can't believe, like, frozen custard is awesome.
And don't even get me started on the Tortillas Tacos Cafe Rio comparison.
Oh, well,
don't even get me started.
That's not really fair because, like you said, it's battling a legend, and I've never had Tortillas Tacos.
Now I've had them both, and the answer is clear.
I'll keep this in mind. That's your fault that I've never had.
I love you, Tortillas. Once again, I don't think we need to go into real detail here, but we both know that it is not my fault that you didn't have Tortillas. But next time you're down here, I promise you we will go to Tortillas.
All right.
When you were here before, there wasn't one by my house.
That's true.
There's now one about 10 minutes away from my house.
That's true. There was a significant drive involved, which is why we didn't end up going.
That's part of the reason.
Yes, part of the reason that we didn't end up going. Well, Matt, we have come to the end of the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. We would remind everybody at this point, go to CougarFan.com to get all your Cougar news. Check out my book, Pete Crosser, on Amazon, available in paperback and Kindle format. Matt, next week we're going to visit a very important topic. We're going to draft. Are you ready for this? We're going to draft the hardest schedules in BYU football history.
I've already got my draft board ready.
I don't even know what that means, and I'm excited. So that's something that we will do next week, and obviously that will talk about how difficult this 2016 schedule we think will be as a big part of that. Matt, anything else you want to throw out to the listeners before we sign off?
Nope. I'm just going to go have a delicious bowl of Bluebell ice cream.
Oh, boy. If I was near a Culver's, I'd go get some custard right now.
That's unfortunate for you.
Yeah, well.
Do they sell Bluebell in Minnesota now?
No.
Oh, probably not. They had that little scare.
Yeah. They typically in Minnesota, they don't like selling ice cream that kills people. It's fine. They're just crazy that way. No, they don't sell Bluebell ice cream. We have creameries by us. You realize I live like among like the best dairy country in the world. You know that, right? You're not even top 10. Bluebell's not top 10. It's only your favorite is because there's not good ice cream in Texas.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've lived in all sorts of places where there's good ice cream.
No, where? Indiana? Virginia?
Yeah, these are ice cream places. They sell Bluebell in Indiana.
Exactly. That's what you just answered the question.
And I know we're trying to wrap up the show here, but one thing I will throw out here for you. Yes, I love the BYU cream, man. I loved it when I was there, and when I'm there this summer, I will go.
Yes.
And I will have some ice cream there.
Yes.
But one of the best ice cream cones I've ever had in my life, the Penn State Creamery.
Oh, okay.
It was delicious.
Okay. All right.
It was a gigantic cone in a waffle cone. Very, very good.
I've not had the ice cream there.
Yeah, I was up there visiting several years ago and decided to try it out and did not regret it.
And if anyone, by the way, says Breyers or one of those store ice creams, stop.
Yeah, don't even come at me with your Breyers.
Stop there. Also not top 10.
Or your Dryers.
Or your Dryers or whatever.
Or your Myers.
Or whatever. Or that the one that comes in a plastic, you know, thing that fed your entire family. Not that either. So Matt, tune in next week. As we said, we'll talk hardest football schedules in BYU history. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout to follow along with the podcast there. On Twitter at BYU_riseshout. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.
Sweeney. See, that's how it's supposed to go.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, see, I may have to take that over.
Sweeney. Is that better?
That's better. We can end on that. I feel better about this show. Oh, man. I'm 40.